And hello, guys. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Jose, and I'm grateful to be here with you guys for the day. So before we get started, I hope you guys are having a wonderful day. I hope everyone did enjoy your holidays. I hope you all got to eat all types of good food, got to do all this stuff. You know, I probably repeated it all over with, and I hope you guys, you know, enjoyed your last week as well. You know, I hope everything went great for everyone. For me personally, you know, everything for my holidays went pretty well. I spent some time with my family, and then I, you know, ate food, got to spend time with friends and family, you know, important stuff. And then I got to relax, and then I turned around and went out of town that weekend after that. So I had a pretty busy weekend of that week. But I was off that week, not that week, so I was off those couple days. Got some time to relax, to rest. Like I said, you know, I did enjoy my holidays, got to eat some good food, you know, friends, all that good stuff, and went out of town. Just to give you guys a rundown of what I did, you know, went out of town, you know, enjoyed a little bit of Nashville that I did get to see. You know, we were kind of on a time crunch, but, you know, we went to celebrate my brother's birthday. So we took him out there. We got to see the downtown life. You know, got to experience that. And then the next day we went to Chattanooga and we actually got to experience Ruby Falls. If any of you listeners out there who know where Chattanooga is, I highly recommend you go and you take a trip to go see Ruby Falls. It was a very magical moment. In fact, it was a very inspirational moment for me because it actually is because of that experience of the moment that I was experiencing while I was there. Because pretty much you're going on a tour in an underground cavern, and you, at the end of the tour, you go to this underground waterfall. And waterfalls are very, I guess the best way to explain it, because I've seen, this will be my second one in like a natural setting that I've seen. Waterfalls are a really magical thing. And it, you know, for people who are very in tune with nature like I am, you know, you feel things, you get emotional, you know, you start to feel inspired and all that other stuff. And I had one of those moments while I was there. And thanks to one of my close friends, you know, we may have finally figured out what's going to go on our t-shirts. So that is, we're moving along with that. And that's great stuff, is, you know, been very inspirational. So I had a lot of inspiration for this show and the future of the podcast as well. In fact, if you guys are following us on our social medias, you will actually probably see that now we've started our Wild Weekly Question now, where it's like the question will be posted during the week, probably on the Wednesday when I first start the podcast, and the question will be up and up, up and going until the next prior show, and then at the end of that show, we'll actually have discussion. I'll actually read some of you guys' comments, what some of y'all think, and I'll also give my opinion on how I feel about it as well. So I figure that's a great way, you know, to get the community involved and get everybody involved in some stuff. And then, you know, before we do dive in, I also did forget our announcements. Like, I should know this by now, but, you know, you guys know the routine. So, if you guys don't know, you guys can follow us on all our social medias. We have a Facebook at Wild About Animals, and same thing on Twitter. Follow us is a great way to be part of the Wild family. Stay connected. It keeps you up to date with any announcements that may come up or anything that may change or some way, shape, or above. If you guys have any questions that you want me to ask while the show is going live, there's also links on those social medias that we stated before and where you can go. Send me your questions live, and I will answer them live on the show, and you can ask me whatever you want to ask, whatever it pertains to. Also, if you would like me to shout out any happy birthdays, any shout-outs, those are also included in that deal as well. Make sure you guys stay tuned and keep up to date or watch of anything that may come, any new things coming. Like I said, the new question is going to be up today. So if you want to go answer that one, you're more than free to. And so today, guys, we're actually going to be talking about penguins today. I figured we'd go with a theme for, since it's December, we're going to go with themes, I guess, animals that are either associated with winter in some type of way or Christmas. So that's kind of the theme we're going for this month. And penguins just was a thing that kind of hit my mind, so we're going to stick with that. So I hope you guys are ready to talk about penguins today, so stay tuned after this break, and we'll be right back. Hey guys, this is Jose from Wild About Animals. I just want to throw this in and be like, if you guys have any requests for any future podcasts, make sure you leave them on Facebook, and then I'll make sure I put them on a list, and I'll let you guys know if you're there. Back to the show we go. All right, guys, and we're back from our break, and I hope you guys are ready to get started talking about penguins today, because I'm ready to start telling y'all about some things. So, pretty much scientists estimate there are about between 17 and 19 species of penguin in the world, and you can pretty much find these guys from Africa to Australia. The cool thing about penguin species is majority, if not all, are found on the southern hemisphere of the world, which means where the equator is in the center. Almost penguin species you'll find are south of that. The only species that's found north of that is the Galapagos Island species of penguin, and they live, you know, further north than any other species of penguin in the world. But most penguins do live on the southern part of the hemisphere. So that was also a cool thing. That's also why, according to what popular media tells you, you'll never see penguins and polar bears together, because polar bears live in the north part of the equator in the Arctic, while penguins live in Antarctica on the south part, or anywhere between the, you know, the south hemisphere down in that area. But penguins and polar bears do not live in the same area, which is why you never see them interact. So there's that. Now, the penguins come in variety of sizes. The smallest penguin is the blue penguin that lives in Australia. These guys can grow to about the height of about 10 to 12 inches. So they're pretty, pretty small. But now the largest species, which is a very well-known common species of penguin, is the emperor penguin, which if you guys have watched Happy Feet, you will know what these are. They're native to Antarctica, and they grow upwards to about 50 inches tall. So they're pretty big animals, if you really think about it. Now, fossils have shown that back in prehistoric times, there was actually giant-sized penguins that could reach to heights of about 6.5 feet, and they weighed more than 250 pounds. So that's pretty scary when you think about a penguin being, because let me put it into perspective for you guys. I am 6'4 in real life, and so a penguin that's an inch taller than me, that's something that's pretty massive if you think about it. But that's pretty cool that penguins were that massive back, you know, those millions of years ago. And obviously with, you know, time went on, they probably shrunk. Now, the cool thing about penguins is their name actually comes from an extinct seabird that was native to Canada. If you guys would take the time, you should actually go and look the great auk. It actually is a bird that looks very similar to the penguin. They had the same color frame and all the other stuff. They ate fish, they hunted the same way, but these birds got hunted to extinction. And so pretty much people believe that the name penguin comes from the Welsh phrase penguin, which means white head. So these guys are thanks for giving the penguin the name, because, you know, explorers got them, thought they were the same species at earlier in time. So when I found that out, I was like, that's pretty neat. You know, it's sad that, you know, an animal had to go extinct for this to happen, but it's still cool that the name came up from that mishap. Now, I'm pretty sure you guys know all penguins are carnivores. Now, it's just their eating habit and their diet changes where they are in the world. Some feed on krill and cephalopods like squid and cuttlefish, while others specialize in hunting fish. Like I said, it kind of depends on where they are and their diet, and that kind of determines what they eat. Now, penguins do not have any teeth in their mouth at all. However, they have these fleshy spines inside their mouth that helps them swallow fish. And pretty much, if you'll notice what they're doing is like when they take the fish, they'll hold their head up, and it's like they're pretty much swallowing the fish. But this will help them guide it down their throat, and I guess that's the best way to do it if you don't really have teeth. Now, the one thing that penguins are known for, some of the famous things, is the way that their feathers look. Now, penguins are black on the top and white on the bottom. And this isn't just to make them look like they have tuxedos on. This actually is useful for camouflage, and I'm about to explain to you why. So, when a penguin's in the water, they swim streamlined, which means the black part's facing up and the white part's facing down. So pretty much it's used to camouflage themselves if a predator is beneath them or above them, because the way water works is if you're deep enough in the water or deep enough for where, you know, even if the sun's out, you know, it's pretty dark. And so if a predator is above a penguin while it's swimming underneath it and the black part's up, it won't see that penguin unless it knows it's there, and vice versa. If it's below it while it's swimming at the top, then they'll see the white part, because the closer you are to the top, the more sunlight you can see in the water or in the ocean. So it's like that white part will hide it from predators that are looking at it from above. This is also useful in case if the penguin is hunting prey items, because it can also hide itself from being seen by fish and other prey items that it may eat. Now, see, I didn't know that penguins actually use camouflage, but that's actually really cool when you think about it. They actually do that. Now we're going to talk about, I guess, the penguin's body structure for a second, because if you guys have seen, you know, the penguin looks like it has a very smooth, like, body frame when it comes to swimming. The penguin actually has evolved to basically fly underwater, because penguins are flightless birds. But the way they move through the water is almost as if they're flying. Like most birds, like we've stated in past episodes that we've talked about with any bird species, birds have very hollow bones. Well, the penguin has adapted solid bones because this helps them swim and reduces their buoyancy, which is why they have a tendency to float, which also implements in their great swimming abilities, because penguins are very great swimmers and even more amazing divers. Penguins, like, the swimming speed of penguins clocks about 7 to 4 miles per hour in the water, and most can dive about as deep as 800 feet, but there have been certain penguin species that can dive deeper than that. And then with that, you know, that, well, when we're talking about that smooth feeling in there with the body earlier, is because they have this oil that's spread all over their body that improves their hydrodynamics as well. And just to even top it off, it's like penguins I'm pretty sure you guys have seen penguins waddle. That's, you know, because penguins, I would say, are not the fastest runners. However, they are actually pretty decent at jumping. And some species will jump to get a head start for their dive to increase their dive speed. Or there's been times where you've seen videos where penguins will swim to the top and jump on top of an iceberg to escape predators that are chasing them. Now, like we stated before, you know, penguins aren't really the best when it comes to walking, but they can travel miles and distances to get to their old breeding grounds. But sometimes if walking on their two legs doesn't work, sometimes a penguin will lay on its belly and scuffle across the snow. And sometimes that's actually faster for them to do it than just walking on two legs, you know. Now, if you guys, and we're going to kind of reference Happy Feet a little bit, because it does, for the most part, besides the singing and the dancing, it does actually show some actual behaviors that penguins do show in the wild. One thing in particular that it shows is that penguins are monogamous species, and majority of penguins are. It depends on the species and the season that's going on, but majority have shown that penguins are monogamous animals. What does that mean? That means that penguins mate for life, which means one male and one female will find each other and they will continuously mate when mating season comes up. Typically, this is how this works in most penguin species, but majority of them are monogamous. Now, how it works with a lot of species is, you know, the females actually compete for males, which is, you know, not how it usually goes. But some species have shown that it's the other way around. And then males will sometimes try to impress females by calling and giving her rocks to build her nest, or showing off that he can, you know, his feathers, or doing a courtship dance, you know, many of these other things. But it's very interesting that penguins go about all this stuff to actually impress a potential mate. And then usually when penguins decide to mate, they usually have 1 to 2 eggs. It depends on the species. Like emperor penguins have 1, but smaller penguin species can have 2. But in the penguins couple, usually both parents take care of the offspring. In the emperor's penguin's case, if you guys did see Happy Feet, you would see that his mom left to go out to eat fish, and the dad stayed behind and huddled and kept him warm between his feet. This is actual penguin behavior in the emperor penguins, because while the females go out to hunt and eat fish, the males will not eat for months on end. They will huddle together and they will try their best to keep that egg warm. And then basically, by the time the female comes back, the egg is hatched, and then she will regurgitate the fish for the baby. And then that is the most prime and dangerous time for any baby penguin, because The second he hits the ground, the mother has to quickly scoop him up into, there's a little pouch in between their feet that they keep the babies, they have to keep them warm. But if he stays on the ground too long, he can actually freeze to death in a couple of minutes. And then once he gets transferred from the male to the male will leave and take his turn to go eat, and the female will stay behind and watch the offspring. So Happy Feet did kind of show a good deal of that. I mean, it added a little extra to it when it was like, you know, the singing and the dancing. But it did actually show actual penguin behavior, which I thought was pretty cool. They actually showed that for kids. Now, if you're wondering, well, does this mean that penguins are in danger of being extinct and all that stuff? Well, actually, they are. The main culprit to penguins and their habitat loss is climate change. And the thing about that is climate change is something that is very real, and people fail to realize how much it affects the world as a whole. With the iceberg shrinking as much as they have been these past several centuries and years, that actually diminishes the amount of ecosystems that penguins can live in. Now, penguins can live in different types of ecosystems. Like I said, there's some that live in the Galapagos Island, but the majority of penguin species depend on the ice, on Antarctica to live. And a lot of the issues with the ice shrinking is because of climate change. And because of that, you know, penguins' numbers are dwindling down. And that affects the ecosystem because there's a lot of animals that depend on penguins for food. And it disrupts that delicate food chain that we've talked about so many times on this podcast that I've told y'all about. And it's very important that you take the time to do your research and learn what you can do to help these lovely little birds survive. Because it's very important that you understand that even penguins play a vital role in their ecosystem. And you can learn a lot from them just by watching and reading up on them. All right, well, that is the end of the penguins and all the information I have for you guys today. So now we're going to ask our weekly wild question. And if you guys know, this was going to be a very interesting one because this actually kind of popped up today. But the question is, do you think certain animals are misunderstood? And when I say that, I'm like, are there certain animals that you think people just don't care about or don't want to learn about or are scared of because of fear? Like, well, for example, I'm going to give you my take on this and what provoked me to ask this question today. If you guys go back, I believe it's episode 3, I think. Which, by the way, guys, we're almost on episode 30, so that's a big whoop. Anyway, sorry. So if you go back to episode 3, we were talking about Black Mambas, I believe it's episode 3. I have a lot of episodes I can't quite remember, but I do believe it's episode 3. Anyway, and I said in that podcast about how people, I feel, snakes are misunderstood, which they are misunderstood, because we had an incident today where I was at work, and it's getting colder where I live, so a lot of snake species, you won't really see them because they're kind of huddled up because reptiles can't really move that fast when they're cold. They have to heat up. And so the past couple of days at my job, we've seen this baby snake just around where we were. I'm not that well knowledgeable on snakes, so I didn't know what it was, you know, if it was poisonous or not. But regardless of the fact if it was or wasn't, I didn't want to take the risk of, you know, because I didn't want to kill it because, you know, again, snakes do play a vital role in our ecosystem, again, and I didn't want to kill this baby snake, you know, but I went out, was getting ready to clean up for the day, and I happened to see a tail that was longer than a lizard tail, that's for sure. So I go inside and tell my coworkers that I found that the snake wasn't moving, so I didn't know if it was dead or alive. And, you know, we're just looking at stuff, my boss comes out, and he's like, where is it? He tries to see if it's there, and then he ends up killing it. And I felt guilty because we later found out that it was a gray rat snake. And the thing about rat snakes is rat snakes eat rats, which we consider pests. And so the rat snake actually does us a favor by eating small mammals that we consider pests like rats and mice. And if I'm not mistaken, I do think that rat snakes may eat other snakes, if I'm not mistaken, too. I could be wrong, but I do believe that rat snakes eat other snakes. But anyway, it was just kind of hard because it's like, I didn't intend for this to happen like that because, you know, I was just trying to tell people, you know, intentionally, I wanted to move it and move it somewhere where, you know, it couldn't get hurt or couldn't be harmed or whatever. But I didn't expect it to kill it. You know, that was not the intention at all. And it's kind of one of those things where it's like, you know, it was just killed out of the fact that it was a snake. Not the simple fact that it was harming anybody or it was attacking something. It was just the fact that it was a snake. And that's where this question comes from is, do you think some animals are misunderstood for the simple fact of who they, what they are, not for the fact that they've done anything? Snakes are a main culprit of that because a lot of snakes in culture are seen as evil creatures, and you know, it's been embedded that every snake should be dead. I think the quote that people say is, the best snake is a dead snake, is pretty much what I've been, you know, what I've been told. And how is that fair for the snake to be killed just because it's a snake, you know? And it's like, and I've said it before, you know, it's not like a snake's out to get you or out to harm you intentionally. And I feel incredibly guilty because it's like, if I hadn't called and spoken up, then that this baby snake would still be alive still. Another good example of this is spiders, for example. Now, I've made it a known rule in my life that I do not, if I see a spider in my house, I try to do my best to get it and move it and put it outside. Because spiders are very great pest control. I know some spiders are dangerous. I know spiders can kill people. I'm very well aware of this. But at the same time, it's like spiders are very great pest controls for your house, especially if they're on the outside. You know, flies and mosquitoes are great at killing these and eating these guys. They're great at pest control. However, spiders have this notion that, you know, spiders are nasty and all these other things, when in fact they're really clean animals. You know, they don't really move that much. They usually stay in their web unless they're like a spider that actually travels and hunts as an ambush predator. And it's just like I said, it's like, it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, spiders are just so misunderstood and not taken consideration because of what they are. And I think what I want to return and flip the script on everybody listening is, I understand that you're probably feeling scared and fearful when you see some of these animals that you think are nasty or disgusting or should be dead. But I want you to take the time to think about what that animal is feeling when you were standing over it. Because I can guarantee you this, 9 times out of 10, a lot of mishaps are not intentional. These snake bites are not intentional. These spider bites are not intentional. These snakes are trying to defend themselves, and when you walk up on them, that's all they're trying to do. Spider bites are pretty much the same thing, you know. If they feel threatened, they're going to defend themselves. Just like you feel that you have the right to defend yourself too. And I'm not saying what happened to that baby snake was wrong. I just don't agree with it. But it made me really think about how we are so quick to just get rid of an animal because of what it is. Not really taking the time to pick it up, move it somewhere else, or just destroy. Your first thought is to destroy. Anyway, sorry, I got on the soapbox. Didn't mean to do that. But I am very curious to hear what you guys have to say about this as well. You know, what are your thoughts? We can talk about it and hear all the things that you all have to say. However, that will be the end of the show today. I hope you guys did enjoy it. So be on the lookout for the next week's question. It'll be up on Wednesday, right before we do the show next week as well. And remember, guys, stay wild out there. And remember, Nature is proof that magic is real. Y'all have a great rest of your week, and I'll see you next week.